Hello, everyone.
Talk Radio.
Welcome to the first podcast episode of I Am My Sister Too. I am so excited. I could barely contain myself all day, but you know what? Let's get started. So the reason why I wanted to have this show was because we have a lot of things going on in the news, a lot of events occurring, you know, the passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the other people that were in the plane, the helicopter with him. Then we have, you know, Jamaica had an earthquake in the water. Then we have another plane that went down. We got the coronavirus. We just got so many things going on. And so I wanted to kind of like just pull it back a minute and so we can assess what's really happening. About one, this planet, two, an ascension that's happening and not only the planet, but us. And paying attention to our soul and our spirit and what that all really means. We hear these terms so many times, people, you know, say soul and spirit, your soul and your spirit. But what really is soul and spirit? So, you know, I'm also inviting you all to not only just listen, but you can call in. You can call in, you can talk to me, you can ask questions. The call-in number is 516-387-1791. And, you know, if you want to come in on in the room, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and you can go to I Am My Sister Too. And, you know, you'll begin to, you could come right in and kind of chat with us. We also have a chat that's open. So, you know, I'll start out with just, you know, just saying, you know, let's identify what soul and spirit means. I've been talking about it for over 20 years. And within the 20 years that I've facilitated groups and I've done workshops, people still don't know what it means. They think they're together. They believe that soul and spirit is something that's together. And honestly, it's not. The soul is very deep. The soul is transcending. The soul comes back many times. Whether we want to believe it or not, it does. I'll talk about, let's define what body is. We know body is the physical. That's our physical being. That's what we use to feel, touch, taste, sight, smell, sense of taste. We have the five senses, so that's the body that has that. And then we have, you know, the spirit. What is our spirit? Our spirit is our emotions. It's our emotional intellect. It's what makes us, the part that is connected to the Most High God, they say through a silver string. That's the body. And then, the spirit. And then you have the soul that is immortal. The soul is immortal. And depending on different religions and texts, you'll have the soul that has five layers, and I'll get into that a little bit more. But the soul comes back, so it can reincarnate, and it comes back with memory. Hence, sometimes people say deja vu, like I've been here before, I've done this before, I've seen this before, because the soul comes back with memory. And I'll get into a little bit more about that soul. So we have what we call reoccurrences that are happening. Like some people have what we talked about the other day on one of my friends' show, the Mandela Effect. Then some people say, I remember this, and some people don't remember that. And what we call our bodies parts are called the members. When we call, you know, even the Bible talks about the members, right? So if someone gets their arm or their leg or something happens, they will say they've been dismembered. Or if a person's been kicked out of a church, they say they've been dismembered. So that means they're no longer part of the body. So we talk about members. And the job of the soul when you're born into the planet is to connect, means to remember. So when you look at the suffix word re, it means to do again. Re means to do it all over again. So what would they say? Remember, mean connect the dots. And those dots are the parts of you that you come together, the body, the soul, the spirit. As I said, there are five different parts of the soul that I'll get into in a minute. So I just wanted to just say hello again. You know, my name is Amani. A little bit about me. I've been doing workshops for over the last 20 years, group facilitating and, you know, just to different places and people and things. I love what I do. I love to give information. I am a teacher by heart, like from a little girl. I love to teach. I love to be taught. I love history. I love spiritual stuff. I love anything that has to do with spirit and soul. I'm all in it. So I really enjoy it. And so that's about me. I have five kids, single parent, but I had the help of phenomenal women in my family, my grandmother, my mother, my grandmothers, my aunties, my cousins, people who just jumped in and stepped in and helped me. And so I don't take that lightly. And so everything that they gave me right now in this time of life, the Most High has impressed upon me to give it back. Now, I used to give it back all the time through workshops and groups, but I, you know, always did other things too. But now it's like really pressing upon me to do more. And I understand now because of what's happening in the planet. We are literally living in what we always heard about for years. I was born in 1970, so you would hear a lot, you know, oh, this is happening, that's happening, that's happening. Oh, watch out for the signs. We are literally living in the signs of the times. Like literally before our very eyes. Now, what does that mean? It means to come online. You know, like it's tuning your frequency. It means to tune in into your vibrational pattern. Or if your vibrational pattern is not a great one, then find another one. So what I've learned is that as we are shifting our consciousness, the earth is shifting its consciousness. And we can will things into existence simply by our minds, by our mouth. We talked about that earlier as well, about thinking about something. And I heard someone say, do without doing and everything gets done. And I love that because you do without doing means physical labor. Your mind is so powerful that you can go out and get anything you want. The mind will go get whatever you want, good or bad. So if you think on negativity and you're always thinking on something negative or destructive or not positive to your being, you're going to attract that. If you think of good things, you're going to attract that. Like even the Bible talks about thinking on those things that are pure, just, honest, good reproach. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So they even tell you in different parts of, you know, different religion systems, think on good. Think on the things that you want to see happen to yourself or what happened to your in your life. And you can bring those things in existence purely by your thoughts. Another one you can bring in existence with is your mouth. A lot of times we're not taught not to speak against ourselves. We speak against ourselves because that's something that we just were taught or just something that we just do. And I had to learn not to speak against myself, to be impeccable with my word, and not to speak nothing but life to me. And I watched it single-handedly change my life. The more I thought and spoke positive, the more it came. You understand? So you got to get yourself in a space and a vibrational pattern where you start to ascend. Meaning that you're no longer doing those bottom, low-level things. Now, the physical body, we love to deal with because we like to eat. We want to laugh. We want to lay down. We want to sleep. We want to do all these things that satisfy the body but may not be satisfactory for the soul and spirit. But, yes, at times it can because sometimes you need to take a step back. Sometimes you need to say no. Sometimes you need not to go there. Sometimes you need not to have that next drink. Sometimes you need not to eat that food. You know, so it has its place in time. But what I'm talking about is when we don't know its place in time because we don't know that the soul is sitting in the body and is driving you. Okay? So, again, let's talk about soul. Let's break that down. And I'm happy that my friend is here, Miss FB Shona B. She's always been a great support for me as a friend. I've known her since I was 5 years old, And then we kind of like grew apart and then came back after I had my last son, which my middle son, which was 26. And we've been on the beat since then. So I'm really happy that she came up to support me because I was very nervous. So if you want to make a comment or if you have a question, you can just press 1. And I'll see it, and then I'll let you in. I'll open your line up, okay? So the spirit is the non-physical part of a person that is the seat of your emotions and character. So that's the non-physical part of you. That's the seat of your emotions and your character, right? And then we have what you call soul, the spiritual immaterial part of a human being, regarded as immortal, as I said. Now, funny, what do we call the bottom of our feet? Soul. So when we ground ourselves, we ground our soul. So that's why you'll see some people would take off their shoes. I'm known to do that. I'll take off my shoes when I feel like I needed to be grounded and put them in the water, or I'll put them in the earth, in the dirt, because you need to ground your soul needs to be grounded in something that is on the material plane but not on the material plane, okay? So I have 5 things I wrote down. I studied for this today, honey. Let me tell y'all something. I studied today because I said in case y'all come with questions, I want to have them. So there's 5 senses. There's 5 different senses, right? So we have sight, we have smell, we have touch, we have taste, we have hearing, right? Okay. And then we know the soul is a non-physical energy or consciousness of man. It's the vehicle of consciousness. It travels through time and reincarnates. And basically, if you don't finish your life lessons here, you're coming back. I tell all of the people that I work with, spiritual wellness sessions or whatever, or if I'm leading a group, if you don't finish your work, you're coming back. You will. Now, you know when they say the light at the end of the tunnel? Yeah, that's the light you're going to go to because that's the reincarnation light. They don't really tell people that it's in the darkness that you wait. Because that's when you go to the outer part. Now, that might get a little spooky and scary for some of you that are Christians or really religious, but you will understand what I'm saying once I finish with all of this. So you go to another part, which is in the darkness. Now, when I say darkness, let's go back to when we were born, when we were conceived, right? And I'm going to give you some science about conception. When we were conceived, We were actually a piece of an egg, right? And it's an ovum, and it has a nucleus. So this is going to bring me into my segue about the five parts, right? So we have a nucleus, and then the nucleus has another circle around it, which is called the cytoplasm, right? And then you have another section around that, which is called the albumen. And then you have another section, a circle around that, which is called the cytoplasm of the plasma. And then you have the soul membrane, the shell membrane. So you have 5 different membranes around that one nucleus. The nucleus is surrounded by 5 layers, okay, and it passes down through the ovum. So now the egg contains everything that you need. The sperm activates the egg. Everything you need is inside of you. Everything you need, when you came here, when you agreed to come and get in this body, you had everything you need when you came here. Now, I used to say that all the time in my workshops. You have everything you need when you came here, but you truly do, because everything is there. You have the protection. You have the 5 layers to get you here, right? And so then you have the albumin, right? So then you have also you have another thing, which is called the 5 that the Egyptians call, which is the Ren, the Ka, the Ib, the Ba, and the Ak. So you have those. Those are also 5, right? Because it's always talking about the soul transcending. It's talking about the soul transcending what our everyday personal bliss, if I'm making sense to you all, okay? So when we have that, when the heart is formed, our heart actually is formed by one drop of our mother's blood in conception. One drop of our mother's heart is in our heart. it informs our heart. We are made up of stardust. Our bodies are made up of physical stardust. And this has been proven through NASA. This has been proven through science. So that means that when we say we are star children, we literally are. And our body disintegrates once we die, becomes ashes. And ashes is like dust. It's like stardust, right? So we have the heart of the mother. So when my mother said, oh, you my heart, and when I tell my children, they're my heart, literally, they are my heart because it's one drop of the heart that makes the heart for you. As it travels down, becomes a being. So you come into this world with everything you need on the day you say you're coming in. And you come in sometimes knowing. I watch my grandchildren. When they were born, I have one granddaughter. She was born with her eyes wide open. Like, I watched her literally come out of my daughter's birth canal, and the girl had her eyes wide open, like not even closing them where, you know, most babies back in the day, they would come out with the eyes closed, and you know, the nurse had to wipe their eyes and all that. This kid came out with her eyes wide open, looking around the room, and I was there to actually witness it. And I was like, my God, these kids come in with a knowing. I had them over the weekend. I had two of my grandkids over the weekend. And, baby, I tell you one thing. Those babies, they are in the know. My grandson, he'll be four. Highly intelligent. And I'm not just saying that because they're my blood, because I'm very highly intelligent. Yeah, yeah. But no, I'm saying it because they are. These kids come here in the know. And a lot of people would say these are the ancestors who have returned. These are the great old ones that we've been waiting for. And these kids got the answer. My 2-year-old granddaughter can speak in sentences. Like, grandma, she called me mama. Mama, where are you? Mama, I want my bottle. Like, 2 years old, I don't recall any 2-year-old speaking that clear. Like, really knowing what they don't want and what they want. And these kids come in knowing. So I'm saying that to say, how far have we would have grown if we were not interrupted with our parents' fears or our parents' phobias? You know, a lot of us are like indigo children. A lot of us are crystal children. A lot of us are children that came in the know. I know that I can remember stuff when I was 2 years old because I remember my mother and my aunt talking about my grandfather, and I was like 2 years old, and they were like spelling the word because they didn't, you know, my grandmother, but my family never liked to talk grown talk around children, so they would spell. I was going to a nursery in Red Hook, and they taught you in nursery. So my aunt and my mom was talking about my grandfather, and they said, yeah, you know, D-A-D-D-Y. And I literally sat there 2 years old, and I was like, daddy, y'all talking about daddy. And they kicked me out the room. Like, they never, ever, ever would talk in front of me, especially business or family business, because they knew I was catching on. There was no cognitive dissonance when it came to me. I was quick. I was smart. And so, but a lot of times our parents didn't let us grow the way we needed to for fear of the world, for fear of maybe you might be too smart. And I used to hear that because nobody likes a smart kid. Nobody likes a real smart kid, you know, and I was a smart aleck little girl. I mean, I still am, but I was slick. I was slick with my mouth, I was slick with my stuff, and I would come back at you as a kid. But I noticed that a lot of us, especially that were born in the 70s, we were kind of held back a little by our parents for fear. And I didn't want to do that. With my first two, I did, you know, kind of like, oh, you better not be fresh. But the last three, I let it rip. So my last daughter is very vocal. She's very she knows what she wants and she knows how to get it. And when she makes her mind up, that's what it is. My oldest daughter's coming into her own now, but a lot of it was suppressed because I suppressed it for fear that she wouldn't be liked or she wouldn't be accepted. But I realized that that went against me more than it was for me. And so now what I do is I learn to let them be who they are. Like my little people this weekend, they were who they were. If they didn't want to eat, I didn't force them. If they said, no, mama, they didn't want no juice, fine. If my granddaughter said she didn't want her boom boom, she didn't have it. She would tell me, no, mama, I don't want boom boom. So her boom boom is her bottle. I'm fine with that because I'm learning to listen to children. Why? Because children are very close to the earth. They just got here from the Most High. They just got here from the unknown. So they know some things that we don't know, and we have to put that ego behind us sometimes and listen. Listen to what these children are saying because they're not all wrong. Adults, we kind of are kind of screwed up. By the time you get my age, you got a lot of stuff going on. Probably need a therapist. But I'm learning to let people just be. And when it's time for grow-up, they'll grow. So I want to go back to this whole thing about soul and spirit. A lot of us didn't understand what happened with Kobe. We're looking for all of the things that would make sense, right? The plane, the fog, the helicopter. He shouldn't have went in there. Maybe they should have grounded it. But I'm going to tell you something. When a person has done what they and fulfilled their agreement, they can transcend. They have the permission to transcend. And that's something that we don't understand because we're too steeped in our own stuff to really understand the cosmology and understand what spirit and soul is doing. All those people agreements more than likely were fulfilled that day. And that's why they were able to transcend. Now, I'm not a psychic, but I am sometimes. But I'm not a medium, I should say. So I'm not saying I don't know if they transcended and they're at peace. I know that Kobe Bryant more than likely fulfilled his obligations, and I told my mother that this weekend when she was with me. People are having a hard time because they don't understand the process of death, and they don't understand that death doesn't just happen; it's a process. If you see Kobe's eyes, if you were to look at Kobe when LeBron James passed him, you could see. It's like a star getting ready to fall, and you could see it kind of fizzling it out a little bit. I saw it on him, and I said, wow. He also made a statement, I believe they said to Tracy McGrady, that he wanted to pass Michael Jordan, and then he wanted to be a martyr. He wanted to die. He wanted to be known in his youth. He didn't want to get old and be known. He wanted to die in his height, just like a star. It goes out when it's time. And every star has longevity. It has its timing. It's not they're going to be forever. So, you know, I said I wanted to do this, you know, mostly because of that. And you have to be careful with your soul and spirit energy because you have people that want to harvest. They're harvesting energy. They're harvesting your consciousness. They're looping you into a 24-hour news cycle so you can stay stuck on that, never explaining the transcendentalness that happened with Kobe, if that's a word. They're not telling you that. They're keeping you looped in because it's an energy that can be harvested, okay? And people eat. So I teach people on my one-on-one sessions how to guard their energy. I teach people how to not be a sucker, okay? Because literally, you could be a sucker in more than one way, okay? So I teach people how to maintain your energy field, how to not become prey to suckers, how not to be sucked and drained. Because we do that, especially living in New York City where I live. You could get drained just by going to work in the morning. And you ain't even get the answer to the desk yet. You could literally get drained by riding the train. By the time I ride the bus to go to the train and get off at City Hall and just walk through that park, I'm thanking God that I could walk through some greenery because you can literally get zapped. So in New York City, it's even more imperative. When you live in cities and that are very urban, you need to be more on guard about your energy. When you live in different places like Georgia and you drive, or North Carolina, South Carolina, you can kind of prepare yourself. If you can get in your car, you can listen to your music, and you pump it up, pump it up, pump it up. By the time you get to work, you come in like, namaste, everyone. How are you? Good evening. But then, or good afternoon or good morning, whatever your shift is. But when you live in areas like this, like New York, Atlanta, San Francisco, L.A., Oakland, you know, Chicago, the list goes on, you can get zapped and drained very easy. So you have to be very careful and not to allow people to drain you. I'm very energy sensitive. So what has helped me is I bath. I do aura cleansing baths. Like, I immediately, if I have to go out to work or go out, even if I'm leading a group, when I come back in, the first thing I do is I take off my clothes and I hit the shower. And I have, I make bath salts for myself and my friends and people who need them. And, yes, I do give them away, because everything ain't about a dollar. Everything ain't really about a dollar. When I'm assigned to you, I'm assigned to assist you. So I make the bath salts. I get in, I shower, and I immediately clean off. Another thing I do, I listen to music. And I listen to old school music. Like, I don't like this new rap. I'm sorry, but it's not for me. So I listen to a lot of, like, R&B. I love, like, Shirley Murdoch. I've been stuck on Stephanie Mills for the last 2 months, I swear. I cannot stop listening to Stephanie Mills. Her vibration is so high that it just takes me where I want to go in spirit. Like, her, I listen to Shirley Murdoch. I like her. I listen to I like old Motown music, Delphonic, because I'm hungry. I could use a sandwich right now. The Delphonic, Blue Magic. You know, I asked my aunt the other day, my aunt Brenda, I was like, what's the name of that song that my little nephew, he's like an old soul. Nobody cannot tell me this boy is not old soul. And she said, oh, the Temptations. And I listen to that. Like, I like old music. The Temptations, you know, who just came on my TV just now, Teddy Pendergrass. Like, all this music, it moves you through time. It elevates your chakras. It pulls you up. It makes you feel good. That's why the old school people, they love to dance. They love, and I come from a dancing family, so they love to dance. They like to play music, and it raises a vibrational level and a frequency on you as well. You can dance and get right into a zone. I mean, like, I literally, when I went to my sister Cynthia's birthday in Virginia, oh, my God, my mother kept looking at my other sister, my younger sister, kept saying, she's not going to stop dancing. She's not going to sit down. Dancing, I got into a zone, and I'm telling you, when I came out of that zone, I felt so good. I felt like I've never did drugs. Well, I did smoke a little weed here and there, but not nothing crazy, but I felt it was almost euphoric. It was like blissful. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing, just dancing. And so when I started to research dancing, I realized that it raises your vibration level. Walking, running in the park, brisk walking, it raises the level of vibration. Working out, it releases the endorphins, what do you call them things? Not only the endorphins. Dawn talked about this early in her show. Oxycontin, it releases these chemicals in your body that make you feel almost euphoric. And, you know, that's why I listen to those types of music, because those music, we'll talk about that another show, that music at that time was for that era, because we needed to raise our level of vibration with all the things that was happening within Jim Crow, the civil rights and this and that. We needed themes. We needed music. We needed people to listen to something that lifted our spirit, because we as melanated people on the planet, we need something to talk to our soul. That's what they call soul music. And even for non-melanated people, They need soul music. They ground you with this. So we talked about that. So is there anybody that want to make a comment? You could push one. I'll open up your mic. I'm not sure. If you want me to open the mic up, 516-341-4500. Do you want me to open up your mic if you do? Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to press in, you can press in and tell me where you're calling from. Okay, let's see. Hello, hi, 574-341. You want to make a comment?
I do.
Oh,
I think,
come on. Hello.
I think. Now, you tell me what you think right now. But I think
Okay. Black
women should spend more time with white men. I do.
Oh,
I think they
Lord.
Made it's a great couple. I think everything works right in the relationship. I've done it myself before, you know, before I had to punch the other girl, but that had nothing to do with it. But I think that is a good combination, because I think black men are trash. They cheat all the time, and they lie all the time.
Caller, hello? Okay. So this, like I said, is a high vibrational show, so we're not doing that. But you can keep listening to the show. I'm going to put you on mute.
You know you want to be with me. I sense it in your voice.
Caller, 975. 917-535, you want to make a comment? Welcome to I Am My Sister 2 Radio. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Caller,
hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Imani. This is Shy. I just wanted to tell you that Maquan and I are listening to the show. We are going to absolutely ignore that comment. Totally. But we are going to say.
I had to put him on.
I was like, "What? Okay." I wanted to say, what do you recommend for people that are either not aware or aware of being empaths, and they travel between ley lines? For example, I know that I am a empath, but I travel between New Jersey and Philadelphia and New York on a railroad, and then I travel past sometimes into Connecticut. I also work with different people with different energetics. So I am aware that, you know, I'm going to take on their energy and vibration as well as they take on mine. People say it all the time. But what do you recommend as a regimen for somebody that is aware of being an empath, even if they're not aware?
Right. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to say is, when you're an empath, if most callers don't understand what that means, an empath is somebody who is very energy sensitive, and they pick up vibrations, they pick up energy, and they also understand language of spirit through their sensory body at times. Sometimes it's auditory, sometimes it's by hearing, sometimes it's through taste, it's through touch. So those are different things. But empaths are people who know how to, they absorb people's energy. And a lot of times, because I'm one as well, you don't know how to dump it. And you have to be very careful when you know you've been given that gift. In the church, they will call it a gift of prophecy or a prophet or a seer. So you have to be very careful with who you are and who you have around you. So what I do personally is I carry my crystals with me. That's what I do, and I keep them on me. I also pray. When I pray, I imagine a white light or a gold light just surrounding my whole entire body. And I've done that at times when I felt someone was pulling on my energy, and it stopped immediately. So I've learned to use that as well. You can also use salt. What I'm hearing now is put salt in a little packet, and you can kind of sprinkle it as you walk so that the energy can stop there too. What else? And baths, like when you go home, make sure you bathe. Make sure you bathe. I use my own stuff. I let spirit you know, speak to me on what I need. I don't like to try to buy anybody stuff because you don't know what they're putting in it and you don't know their energy. So I use my own energy, and I only make it for people who are known with me. Like, they know me and they trust, you know, what I'm doing. I don't just make it for anybody. So I would say that. Also, be careful with exchanging of hands. That's another way people steal your energy, through your hand. So you can really simply, like you wash, like you wiping your hand clean or something, you can do that. That closes your aura, the portal. I do have another caller, Shy. Hold on 1 minute. I'm going to open up the line, 216. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
How you doing? I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah, I just tuned in.
Welcome.
A couple of comments. Welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Yeah. All right. As far as the music, that's so true. Cause even Motown to this day, even in China or Japan, they might not even know the words, but something about the vibration of the music that brings them tones in, you know. So, you know, I listen to, you know, it could be Anita Baker, Sade, something that just keeps me calm, or, you know, it could be Teddy, you know. But I listen to hip-hop too, but not so much the new stuff. It's like, you know, real hip-hop, so... So it's from R&B, jazz, you know, anything, because I'm an empath too. And
yeah.
I know that my energy, like, I have to, like, I stay in a, you know, Cleveland it's kind of cold. It ain't bad this year, but I need to move somewhere where it's, when I'm out near nature, you know, run. I have to work out. If I don't work out, then my energy is jacked up. So, you know, being an empath and music, being out in nature and working out, all that, you have to do something to recharge your energy, like, you know, recharging a battery or whatever. You have to do something to be out by the water. You know, if you ain't, I'm not by the ocean, but if I could, I would. But anything to recharge your energy, you know, keep your vibration high.
I certainly agree, and thank you for calling in. I certainly agree. I'll leave your mic open, and Shy, your mic is still open. I just had to mute my friend that called in with the other foolishness. So I definitely agree. I love Motown. I wasn't even born. Funny, with a lot of that music came out, but I know it. You know what I'm saying? Like, some scientists say that, like, we it's downloaded in our DNA from our parents, because that's more my mom and my aunt, and then that's more their era. But I love that music, and I do definitely agree with you that it does take you into another vibrational tone. When I do workshops, I often play old music. I play, like, especially when I do with the teenagers, they're very intrigued. They're like, you know, what are you playing? And I'm like, I'll be playing the Delphonics. I'll be playing the Temptations. I'll play Blue Magic. And they love it, because it's like, we never heard this kind of music. And what I believe what they did is they dumbed down the vibration in the music with this trap music. So it's very dense.
Right.
You feel it is very dense. Like, if you listen to hip-hop that we grew up with, like Eric B. or Rakim, or, you know, Dougie Fresh, or, you know, Slick Rick.
Right.
People, it's Queen Latifah. Like, rap even went through a whole thing. It went through, like, you know, they were rapping. Like, so you had, like, KRS-One who came in with the consciousness, and you had them keep going, and Queen
right.
Latifah and Moni Love and Tribe Called Quest. But before that, you had, you know, the first guys who made it. What was they called? The Sugar Hill Gang, you had them, you know, Mel, and, you know, so they were more or less getting it out there, and it was, they had their frequency and their tone, and then it shifted and went to a consciousness like Talib Kweli, and you had Mos Def, and you had all this underground rap that popped up. Then you seen it transcended again, then it went to gangster rap, then it went to, you know, and then you could kind of know. People had different hands in that, but I'll talk about that. Maybe that's the next show I'll do, and I hope you call in and be a part of the show with me, because I see you are very interested in that too. it changed. It, they did something to the music, and the tone was dumbed down our youth. And it became aggressive and menacing almost. Like, I don't, because when I want to get something done, believe it or not, I put on Jay-Z. I can literally get everything done. I've written papers because it gets you into a grinding kind of mode, like, But then when you want to come out of that, it's like, okay, I want to listen to Nas. If you want to flow. It's different types of music. So we can do a show on that, and I would definitely love if you would, you know, call in and give your opinion. Shy, you have anything else you want to say?
Yeah, you know, since we're going in this direction, I think it's even interesting if you could also talk about the different prayers and different through the generations. One of the things that came up, it's funny that music is coming up, and prayer and meditation. One, a friend of mine was listening to the morning call prayer that the Muslims give right before they call to prayer. And
right, the Adhan.
If you listen to that, that vibration is so magnetic. I don't,
it is.
And because, you know, I grew up Christian, you know, we're taught to fear that, like, oh, that's not a part of us. But if you've really, really sat down and listened to it just in its entirety, it is so serene. And
you know,
it's
called the Adhan, and I've listened to it a lot because I used to work in a Muslim organization, and my best friend grew up Muslim, and, you know, her mom was my mentor, who I love to life. And so she would play it. It would come on while we were working, and it was so peaceful. Sometimes I would just listen, just, like, immerse yourself in it, and your vibration, you would feel so good. It's just a call to prayer. Another thing, some of my listeners, you can also utilize, it's called Mitchell Gibson, called the Miracle Prayer. You can get it on YouTube, and that also works. Like, if you're going through something and you really need some assistance, Dr. Mitchell Gibson is on YouTube. It's called the Miracle Prayer. Shy, you can listen to that, too, while you're working and you're going through the different ley lines. Play his music in your ear. That you should definitely feel a boost in your vibrational level. Because I know as empath, certain ley lines, it can affect you. Because I remember traveling with my boyfriend. We were going down to Virginia, and I fell asleep. But as soon as I hit Philly, I woke up. I just woke up out of a deep sleep. As soon as I got on Amtrak, and I felt dead asleep. Like, so we didn't even pull out the station. I was dead asleep. I went to Jersey, as soon as we hit Philly, I jumped up. He was like, what's wrong with you? I said, where are we? It felt like we was in a war town. I felt my spirit just going crazy. I looked up. I looked around on Amtrak, and I was like, we must be in Philly. And every time, if I travel, every time I even go to my cousins in Virginia, every time we go through Philly, it's something. So what I've learned to do is when we pulling in through Philly, but Philly actually is a great portal for energy. But something about where the Amtrak goes through, that energy is horrible. If you are in
the tunnel, it's the tunnels. It's those tunnels because
okay.
You go through. Is you go through tunnels because I'm passing through them. Like by the time I get from Philadelphia 30th Street, I mean just going from my house to 30th Street, I feel it. Then I get on the train, then I pull through in New Jersey, you feel it. Then you go through New Jersey into New York. It's like you're not sleeping because, like, I'm supposed to be sleeping. You can't rest because it's constantly, you're going through different portals, and you feel it. Like, if you don't know it, you're not going to understand what you're going through. It's just an unrest. So it's just constantly, like, jumping you out of something in an adjustment. So by the time I get to rest, I'm like, God, I'm tired.
You know, the higher you go, though, like, I love to go to the Poconos. The mountain, it just does something for your energy. The mountain, the Poconos, even upstate New York, there's a place I know when my best friend comes into town. Her aunt used to live in Spring Valley, and we used to drive through the Palisades. Amazing energy. amazing. You will, like when we go to Woodbury, Shona, we will go through, I will always go through that way through Spring Valley. It's the trees. It's nature. You're at one with it. And those trees have been here longer than humans have been. So you're dealing with, like, divine source. Like, you're walking, like, even Central Park. You walk through certain parts of Central Park, you can just become immediately revitalized right by walking through the park. You know, even though we know what they did in Central Park to our ancestors, but I ain't going to even go there right now. But we can take that energy that our ancestors used it as what they call Seneca Village before the city of New York had eminent domain on it and took it and displaced
them
all the way from 110th up. That's where you get Harlem, because they took them and put them out and went 110th and up. And that's where a lot of our black people wind up settling, because they live in Seneca Village, which is now Central Park, which they now call Central Park. So, you know, just a little bit history on that. So if you want to, like I always say, look it up. You know, whatever I'm telling you, do your own research on it, so you'll know what I'm telling you is not something I'm just a person just getting a blog talk radio and just talking. I'm telling you stuff that I know that I've researched, I've searched up and down and got all different types of stuff. But, yeah, you should try to look into getting you have a lapis lazuli stone? Shy?
Again? Say it again.
Do you have lapis lazuli?
Yes, I have that one.
Okay.
I think I have everything. I have that. I have the peacock oars. I have the black obsidian. I have the blue tiger eyes. I have the brown tiger eyes.
I just heard black obsidian. I think that what you need to do is clear off the black obsidian, and if you can, you can try to wear it. Like, if you wear a hat or if you wear a scarf, try to see if you can put it, like, at the top of your crown chakra. Put the black obsidian right on top of your crown chakra with your scarf on your head and just wear it just for a little while.
Okay.
I also have them in the
yoni egg form. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know nothing about the yoni eggs. I heard they're amazing. But I think that I don't know enough about it to comment about the yoni egg. I do know a lot of people that do know about it, but you should ask about it. I'm going to make it my business to know about yoni eggs the next time I go on air.
Okay.
I know that they work. I know
that would be more root chakra and sacral chakra. That would be, because it's right there. Yeah.
Right, and those are the
lower
three
chakras. So you're saying
crown. Right, those are the lower three chakras. We have seven. So the crown would be the top of your head. That right at the top, not the third eye, which is like in the forehead, the top of the head, wear it there. But I know the sacral chakra and the root chakra, those are your lower three levels. And there's another one. I'll also do the chakras too next time. So maybe that's what we'll do. We'll talk about the chakras, we'll talk about the energy body, and we'll talk about the yoni eggs. So maybe you could help me. Help me.
Not a problem.
We can co-host it together. All right, we can co-host it together. And the brother's going to come on, and we're going to talk about the music. So I think we can do all three at the same time, all four. We could talk about it, too, because he can bring a perspective as a man. And your husband as well. Hi, Juan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have 11 minutes remaining to the show. At this point, if anybody else wants to call in, you can call in, press 1, I'll let you into the queue. If not, you know, you can, and tell me where you're calling from when you're calling. It's my first show, even though I have co-hosted on Blog Talk before, but it was on other people's shows. This is my first one, so I hope that you guys found the content good. I do like critiques, so definitely, you know, put your comments there, or either hit me up on Facebook, on Twitter, or on Instagram. On Facebook, my name is I Am My Sister Too. On Instagram, it is Aminette the Goddess and Soul and Spirit. That, and I also have an email. So it's Imani S. Chavis at IamMySister2.com. Yes, I do have, I have a .com. So I'm trying to get this going. I'm glad. I'm grateful for everyone that called in. I'm grateful for everyone that participated. I would like some more participation, but we'll work on that. But I'm going to go ahead and end the show because it's only 9 minutes left, but I'm going to end the show. Is there anything anyone else wants to bring up before I end the show?
When is your next show?
Well, I can do another show, not tomorrow because I'm leading a group tomorrow, but I can do a show. I can do it next week this time. Is that good, or should I do a show before this?
Just let me know when so I can tune back in. So.
Okay, so you know what? Do me a favor. Hit me up on Facebook. My name is Amunet Chavis. If you have Messenger, hit me up on Messenger, and then I can kind of like that way I can keep in touch with you. And so, you know, I can let you know when I'm going live, okay?
Okay, can you spell it out?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, could you spell it out, please?
It's Amunet Chavis. That's on Facebook.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to open up another line. This is a 917-535. Hello, caller. 917-535.
Hi, Marnie.
Hi.
Hi, Marnie. This is Laquan from New Jersey.
Hi, Laquan. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
Best.
I was driving. Yes, you are, sister. I hear you. I'm listening. I'm just driving, but I wanted to get the name of the prayer that you told Shai about that we should check out.
Yes, his name is Dr. Mitchell Gibson, and it's called the Miracle Prayer. What I'll do is when we hang up from the show, I'll send Shai the YouTube link, and she can go right on there, and you can listen to all his stuff. Has amazing information. I listen to it at night when I'm especially having like a really turbulent kind of night or a lot of things have happened, a lot of negative stuff that's impacted me. I put the miracle prayer on and it works. You will wake up feeling good. Trust me.
Okay, thank you.
As soon as I hang up from the show, I'm going to send it to Shai.
Okay.
All right, thank you everyone. You're welcome. No problem. Thank you for everyone that's called in, everyone that has listening by phone or by internet. I appreciate it. I thank you for your time. I never take people's time for granted. And we will have another episode of I Am My Sister 2 that will be coming up next week. But if it's in high demand, I'll do it again sometime this week. All right, peace and blessings to everyone, and have a great evening.